Welcome, everyone. This is Sani, the podcast that celebrates our African scientists. We are back again to talk to us, African scientists, as they share about their research and tell us more about what they are doing all over the globe. So just an information before we begin today's episode. For this episode and subsequent ones, we will like to publish only the audio. So we just wanted to make our viewers and listeners aware. Today, I'm going to be your only host because my co-host could not join us for today's episode. I am Selassie Weafrikwache. I am a microbiology PhD student at the University of Maine. Today, we are joined by Dr. Michael Asibasi, a lecturer at the University of Energy and Natural Resources in Tunyane, Ghana. So, hello, Michael. Thank you for joining us. We just wanted to just go straight to get to know more about you and how your past experiences have influenced your career direction and the field that you are currently pursuing. So, like, did you have other fields that you would have pursued if not for this current one? Just telling us more about yourself and how it's influenced the career that you're in right now.
Thank you very much. And thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be with Sani today. The aims of this particular group is very key, and what you've set out to do is good in being able to put Africans on the pedestal that they need, and it will go a long way to promote work and research from our continent. Yeah, so just a little about myself. So one thing I always say is that what surrounds you also have a way of shaping how you see or view things. And so being surrounded by nature and supported by nature over the period of time that I grew up from my early days, had a kind of way of influencing how I perceive things, and then the interest that I cultivated. So I grew up in a village, so to speak, and we are accustomed to nature. We see all that nature provides, and running around and getting encounter with all sorts of natural resources instilled the interest in me to pursue the field of natural resources, to understand how these resources that surround us could be used in a way that can support us, as well as making them also useful to other generations after us. So that was the starting point. I can't remember exactly when that shift occurred. I suppose it happened gradually over the period of time. So when I had the opportunity to select the courses that I would want to pursue, I opted to do natural resources at KNUSD. I had qualified for a couple of courses, but I settled for that because that is specifically what I wanted to do, to make contributions in the field of natural resources and then environmental management. And this is where we've got into. For areas that I would have loved to work in, I always tell people that possibly that I would have done quantum physics or something else. Yes, but I really like to be part of nature, and I wanted to understand how nature works and the various ways we can make good use of nature without destroying it, so that other people can also be able to use it. So that has always guided my life, and from all my education, right from undergraduate level to my PhD level, I stayed pretty much within the same line, by just adding a couple of ideas here and there that could enrich my journey. Because my field basically is an interdisciplinary field. It's a field that uses skills from diverse areas. Though it's purely basically an applied science field, you will still need some ideas from other related or closely related fields in order to be able to achieve your objective. So I have some areas or some interest in environmental management and environmental science. I've done some courses in business as well. Maybe what I should do next would be journalism or something related to that, just to help. That's just a joke, you know. Yeah, so that is how far I have come. And at the moment, what I'm trying to do is to see how our indigenous knowledge could be streamlined into mainstream science. To see how we can translate that into the mainstream science and then be able to revalue that kind of knowledge, traditional knowledge that has been built over a long period of time when it comes to the management of natural resources, and to help us to be able to use that knowledge more properly in our age. I think most of the time we tend to believe that the traditional knowledge that is there is in code unscientific, and what is has been developed through mainstream science is basically what is useful. But I think generally now, in the century we are now, in the past to say 2 decades, especially in the field of natural resources, we've realized that taking indigenous out of the management of natural resources is not the right way to go. And so now we are looking at how there can be an integration between nature or indigenous knowledge and as well as mainstream science. So currently that is the focus of my research, and I'm looking at how that could be useful as time goes on. And I make fun with my team that probably we'll just develop a new field and give it a name which will be used in that way.
Yeah. If you had the opportunity to describe your research field in natural resources and sustainable environmental management in layman terms, how would you describe that for our, especially for our viewers and listeners who are who would like to just understand it from a basic point of view, which you already really so wonderfully done it. But if they're interested in going into this research level, like how can you explain this in layman terms for them to understand?
Okay, so my field basically tries to answer a very simple question. That is, how can we make use of the resources that we have to meet our own needs without compromising the ability of future generations to be able to do so? And that is based on philosophical reasoning that the resources we have do have a future value, which we may not be fully aware of, or we may not be able to appreciate at our timeline. Mm-hmm. And generally, I may give this as an example, which is a bit practical. Mm-hmm. You take in Ghana, for example, until 2011 or there about 2000s, we didn't pretty much know how what to do with our African rosewood.
Okay.
Until we had some nationals from China that realized that it's a very useful wood. So basically, it was used for charcoal, and then it also has some medicinal value and some other few local construction material. But until recently, we realized that it's more valuable than we initially thought about. And there have also been instances where certain management principles were practiced in Ghana that eliminated very valuable species, which are very, very, which has very high value today in terms of income. And okay. So what the field basically does is to see how we can manage what we have, both what we know is valuable to us today, as well as the aspects or the resources we do not know fully their value. So it's more like just not messing around with nature just because you don't understand its value, but you work with nature to enjoy whatever you can enjoy today, so that it can still remain for others to also enjoy the same in the future. So basically, that is in layman's terms, that is basically what it is. But my research team, or the focus of my research, is basically on using nature-based solutions to address contemporary issues. So whatever issues that they are in, whether climate change issues or issues that have to do with water resources, or you know, anything that have to that relates to the current issues that are confronting humanity, including pollution. My area, I want to see how solutions to address these contemporary issues while integrating into it as well the indigenous knowledge that has been built over a long period of time.
And then that way we can still value the resources that are just within our means, and utilize that in making our livelihood better. And it's really amazing what you are doing. I think that it will really go a long way to help us, especially back as we are home and learning more and more how to utilize what we have within our means. So what's like a usual day as a lecturer and an active researcher look like? How would you describe your day-to-day activities as a lecturer at in Tsunyane?
In 2 words, loaded and fun. The day is normally packed. I handle in 4 courses in a semester. Sometimes I can go as far as 5 and sometimes 6 courses. So it's pretty much stressful or loaded. But it's a lot of fun because you get to do exactly what you are passionate about. Mm-hmm. And then you also get the opportunity to train the younger generation to speak and to also influence and shape the present and future leaders of our time. And so it's a lot of fun doing that. Yeah, so basically you prepare for the day, and then when you get to office, you attend lectures. There are a couple of meetings that you would also have to step in. So basically a lecturer does 3 things. You are a researcher, and then you are a teacher, and then you also carry out community service. And so the research aspect have to do with the work that you do in relation to generation of new knowledge. And then the teaching relates to impacting or sharing or disseminating the knowledge that you have generated. Mm-hmm. But aside that, you would also need to offer some service to community via consulting services. So basically my day spreads across these 3 main areas. If I'm not lecturing, then I am writing something to disseminate later on, or I am in a particular meeting trying to sell nature to a person to buy into the ideas of the need to be able to conserve nature.
Well, that sounds like you said, loaded and fun, where you have so many classes to teach, but also you have your individual work you need to do to the service to the community as well. And so what has been some of the memorable highlights and low moments in your research? Do you have any moments that you would like to share about where you've really had very good moments, or probably some bad moments that you would love to share in this field?
So one thing my supervisor told me when I was doing my PhD was that in this field, you need a lot of patience, and there is a lot of rejection. There's a lot of fun to see your papers being accepted, being published, and being recognized worldwide, and being celebrated once in a while. And there's also a lot of distressing when you've done a lot of good work, and then you push the paper in, and is rejected completely.
Yeah.
Without any in quote remorse. You read some of the comments and you are like, but these are pretty much clear and straightforward. So those are some of the things. So I think I took the advice of my supervisor that you have a lot of rejections. So if you are in academia, but the 1% or 2% that you are able to push through, you would also be recognized or celebrated, because it's good to hear people reaching out to you to say, oh, this is your paper, I've read it, it has impacted my life, it has shaped my view, and all those recommendations from people are exciting and pretty much encouraging to for that. So basically that is how it's been, and it's the same thing when it comes to proposal writing. So you are able to, if you are able to pull through, it brings a lot of joy, but sometimes some of the times you are not able to pull through, so you just look at the areas you need to publish polish, so that next time you can do better or put in a better proposal. So basically that is, so it's a mix of fun and a mix of moments of disappointment. It's all part of the training. Like my supervisor said, hey, she really said that because I had to measure a certain quantity that I needed to measure, as far as I can remember, 0.0001 milligrams. And I had to measure over 1,000, like quite a large number of samples.
Yeah.
And wrap it nicely in a small file, which will be used for the work that I was doing, or the experiment I was trying to conduct.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of time to do that. So she was discussing with her, I told her, oh, this is a challenge. She said, Michael, it takes a lot of patience. And I think I learned it from her. Yeah, so that's pretty much how things have been with me.
Okay. That's really amazing, having to know that even as you are in academia, even as you are in research, there'll be rejections, but you also have to take advantage of the 1 or 2% of the time where you have great news or good news, and celebrate those moments, because they may be few, but then they are also impactful. So as we are talking, as we are reaching out to our listeners, what advice would you leave for our listeners who are young and aspiring scientists in Africa and are looking to one day be where you are right now?
Normally, as I highlighted earlier on about the giving back to society, what I tell my students and the people I meet, and what I would like to also tell the viewers and listeners, is simple. It's 3 words: begin, continue, and complete. So no matter whatever you face, don't be afraid to start.
Yeah.
No matter whatever you are facing, after you have started, continue. And when you continue, you would ultimately complete. Because like I highlighted, there are always challenges. And the challenges, in fact, make our joy better when you are able to put. Because you feel you have conquered all those challenges that were on your way.
Yeah.
So it's about just starting and being persevering until you get whatever that you are, that is in your heart, done. So don't push away your passion, your interest, because of the challenges. In fact, the challenges should rather motivate you to conquer them and be a champion over the challenges, plus the things that you intend to do. So basically that's what I would leave with, or would like to say to your viewers and your listeners.
Thank you so much. And like, I really loved what you said. Always begin, continue, and complete. And so That's, I think that's a great way to end our podcast today. And so we are very grateful to you, Dr. Michael Asibasi, for joining us today. It's been a joy talking to you about your research and about what you do at the University of Energy and Natural Resources in Sunyani, Ghana. We are grateful for you joining us today. And we hope that our listeners will get some motivation from all that you have shared with us today.
Okay, thank you so much for having me, and it's a pleasure to be with you, and I hopefully look forward to another time with you to discuss what I am doing at that point. Maybe when I become the VC, you
Yes.
All right, thank you, and have a lovely time.
Yeah. So listeners, you can find us on Facebook as Sunny, on Instagram as at Sunny Podcast, and YouTube as Sunny Podcasts. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And for our viewers on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, send us your comments on today's episode. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.